Well, it's Valentine's Day, and we're in our series of Proverbs. And when you think of Valentine's Day, you know, you have this image, right? This big red heart. And it's full of candy, and it's sweet, and it's so good. You know, big red heart, and maybe your image has an arrow shot through it. You know, Cupid has smitten your heart, you know, and you're in love. Well, we're going to talk about that today, you know. Of all the things we could talk about in Proverbs, I'm glad that it worked out so that we got to do the heart on Valentine's Day. Because the heart isn't really that sweet. The heart is not good at all when you look at the Scripture. So we're going to look at this. But see, the heart, like everything else that Proverbs deals with, if you pursue lady wisdom, then you're going to have a heart that's pursuing wise things. You're going to have a wise heart. But if you have a heart that's going in the other direction and you're going down the road of folly, then your heart's going to be seduced by some things of folly and you're going to have a foolish heart. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the thought of heart is extremely important to God. My goal today is in three parts. One, I want you to see how important the heart is, important to God, important to you. If you're going to have a blessed life, a good life, then you're going to have to go down the road of wisdom with your heart. Second thing I want us to get is that you see everything that's happening in your life, every problem you have, every issue that you're dealing with is coming from your heart. I want you to see that. And then I want you to finally, and we end up today, I want you to see that, I want you to take a look at your heart, a deep look at your own personal heart. So that's what we're going to do. It's a huge, huge topic in the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, in the Bible, if you're reading a King James Version, the word heart is used like 800 times. In the Proverbs alone, in the book of Proverbs alone, the word heart is found 81 times in 78 different verses. There's only 31 chapters in Proverbs, so that is a lot. A lot of emphasis on the heart. There's no major, more major topic in the Proverbs than this. It's a huge topic to God. It's extremely important. And I heard people say things like this, you know, follow your heart. Just let your heart lead you. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard, and that's the dumbest thing you will ever do. And let me show you why that's really dumb. Jeremiah 17:9. The human heart is most what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. See how sweet that thing is? And he goes on and says, who really knows how bad it is? Ooh. Don't follow your heart. Your heart will get you down the road of folly. Your heart will make you the most foolish person you could ever be. It'll cause you more problems than you could ever imagine. You don't follow your heart. You lead it. I want to begin with two verses that Jesus said. He spoke a lot about the heart, but these two kind of springboard us off into where we're going. He says here in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the greatest commandment of all. He says, love the Lord your God with all your... with all your what?
Heart.
We love with the heart, first and foremost. And so if we're not loving God the way we should, it's a heart issue. If we're not loving people the way we should, it's a heart issue because we love with the heart. And then he says this in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. Is that possible? They shall see God. You see, we see with and through the heart. And when your heart's not pure and not clean, all this junk and muck get in your heart. And it tremendously damages how you see God. And the clearer, the cleaner, the purer the heart, the clearer you see God. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. But it's tough because there's a problem. And the problem is that the heart is not clean. And so in Proverbs 20 and verse 9, it says this. And I want you to get the inference here. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Who can say that? Who can say, I've cleaned up my heart? What's the inference? Nobody. He goes, who can say, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? Inference is nobody. I'm going to say it and I will work on it, but you can't clean your heart up. You can't purify yourself from sin. We are desperately wicked. We're born this way. The Bible says that our heart has folly in it from the time we're a child. It's a tough thing. So our heart is the problem. And I want to make sure we get it. It's not just a problem with our relationship with God and our relationship with people, but it's the problem for everything in life. Everything. From our relationship with God to you name it. If you're having a problem in life, it's going to go back to your heart. You'll see this. We can trace it all back down to our heart. Down deep inside, down in the center of our being, there's what is called a sin nature. And we know it's there, and we didn't put it there. We were just born with it. But we know it's there because you don't have to teach a person to sin. You can teach them to do it better. But you can't teach them. You don't teach a person to sin. We're born with it. Psalms 58:3 says, even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward and speak lies. Nobody has to teach you to lie. Nobody has to teach you to do wicked things. Born with it. And then with a verse that we've read a couple of times already in our series is Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up where? In the heart of a child. You don't have to teach a child to mess up and be mean. They're born with it. The deal is that the human heart enjoys sin. Sin's not a word I use here a lot. Because here's why. Sin is this huge perspective. I mean, it encompasses so much. Sin is anything that we do that makes God sad. I talk a lot about sinful things, like lust, and I talk about things that get us in addictions and things that are, you know, being mean to your spouse or not working like we should at our jobs and mishandling our money. I talk about sinful things, but I really don't say sin. So what we are born with is this sinful nature, and it affects everything in life. Our heart is the problem, and so the problem with our heart is sin. Let's see if we got it. What's the problem? The heart is not clean, right? Let's get it. Make sure we get it before we move on. And what causes the heart not to be clean? Sin. Now we got that part, we're good to go. Now, down deep inside of us is this situation. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 kind of explains it to us, because this situation goes back all the way to our first father, Adam. It says here, Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, which is Adam, sin entered into the world. We sin because of Adam. And death by sin, we not only sin because of Adam, we die because of Adam. So, death passed upon all people. For that all have sinned. Now let me read that to you from the Amplified Version, which clarifies it just a little bit for us. It says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to how many? To all men. Now here it is. No one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. Let me explain this to you. Because Adam is the head of the human race is like a generic spiritual thing. It comes all the way down because he had it, we get it. It comes all the way down through us. Maybe if I explain it this way. The President of the United States of America, if he declares war, you're at war. Whether you want it or not, whether you agree with it or not, doesn't matter. If you are in this people, then you're at war. And you're not of another race, so you have sin. And your heart is desperately wicked. How bad can it be? Who knows? You're born this way. And this is the problem. But there's hope. A little bit further down in the book of Romans, Romans 5:17. By one, Jesus Christ, therefore, as by the offense of one, this is Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Okay, what's that saying? Let me just pause. Because of Jesus, the one man Jesus and the one man Adam, two categories. The one man Adam brought us sin and death. The one man Jesus, because he did it right, brought us life and forgiveness. Let me read on. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Again, let me read this now to you from the Message Bible, and I love the Message Bible, and if you're just getting into the Bible and just starting to read it, this would be just a great translation for you to read. The same series of verses that says here, just as one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. Now that's good. You see? Now here's what I want to say. Today, at this very moment, every person here, every person in the whole world is under one or the other category. You're under Adam and sin and death. And when you die, you die. That's hell. That's separation from God. That's what hell is. In the other category, there's Jesus. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then not only can you now have salvation from sin, but you also have life. Right. And though your body will die, may die, yeah, you're going to keep living even better. Yeah. And so, this is the way it works. And all of us are under one or the other. There's salvation. And if Jesus comes in and deals with sin in my heart, then not only is sin dealt with, but as it comes into my life, then my life is better. Everything is dealt with because Jesus dealt with sin, which is in my heart. So this is, if we've got that part, we're good. When the Scriptures teach that the heart is the center of our being, we have a materialistic body that we can touch and feel and see. We have a non-materialistic part too, that's the spirit and the soul. And when the Bible says heart, it's not talking about this thump and pump that's inside of your chest. What it's really talking about is something that's in the very centralness of your being. Right in the middle of the heart and the spirit and the soul is what the Scriptures speak of as the heart. It's down inside of you. It's who you really are. It's not who you say you are. It's not who you think you are. It's not who you want to be. It's not who people think you are. It's who you are. With everything stripped away, that's you. Just standing before God with everything else stripped away. And what's interesting is that's the part of you that God really looks at. Here, you remember the passage where David's being anointed by Samuel, and Samuel gets all excited about David's older brother, and God says, no, that's not him. Let me read it to you in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. So Only you. And sometimes we even deceive ourselves about our own hearts, but we can't deceive God about it. Only you and God know your heart, know your issues. And so what the heart is really like is you are standing before God, stripped of all your fig leaves, just standing there before God, holy God. And if that doesn't kind of humble you, I really don't know what will. That's the way it works. And this is the heart. And what wisdom does in the book of Proverbs, what wisdom does is leads us on an adventure and an explanation of the heart so that we can do it right and we can do it wise. So here is a key scripture not only in Proverbs, but in life. Let me show you this in Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all. I looked that up in the Hebrew, and what the words are meaning here is like post a guard there. Keep it. For out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. Issues means the origination. It means where things began. It's the source. Now let me read that same verse to you from the Amplified Version. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. In other words, 24/7. Don't guard it. Don't let down the guard for a minute. Don't let the guard go home. You keep that guard posted on your heart with all vigilance, all the time. And above all, that you guard. What does that mean? Above, you're guarding your health. Above, you guarding your family. Above, you guarding all the things that are precious for you in life. Above, you guarding your children. Above, you guarding your job. Above, you guarding your wealth and your bank accounts. Guard your heart. Because everything else is related to it. Above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Out of it flow the springs of life. A heart left unguarded will be invaded. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord 30, 40, 50 years. If you stop guarding your heart will be invaded. So let me go ahead and throw this in while I'm thinking about it. We sometimes wonder, people we know they had a relationship with God. Man, they were serving the Lord, they were on fire from God. And then a few years down the road, we look at their lives and they're just back again and into deprivation and back again into the sins. Well, what happened? We know they had an experience with God. What happened? They stopped guarding the heart. And their heart was invaded. Now, Proverbs paints us a beautiful, magnificent word picture here with that verse. It says here, out of your heart come the issues or the springs of life. It paints the picture as though your life is a river. And this river originates way back upstream here with springs. And these springs are coming out of the heart. Now, if you will, imagine this river, and it's all polluted. It's messed up. You look out at this river, and there's beer cans and alcohol cans and big bags of trash floating down it and papers and all kinds of mess. And the water's murky and muddy and dark and ugly and stench. Coming from this river. And so what we do is we get out there and we clean the river up. We go out in our issues boat and we paddle out there and we start netting up all those cans and bottles and we start getting all the pill bottles that are floating down and all the big bags of trash that are there. We net all that up and we take it out of the river. And we got the river looking pretty good. But have we fixed the problem? Not unless we dealt with a source. We got it looking really good. But then we look out there in a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and here's this stuff coming down again. All those cans and bottles and all the things, the trash bags, pollution, all the stuff again. You see, this is what we do in life. Is we jump into our boats, our issue boats, and we'll motor out there and we'll go dip up all of these issues, all of these problems. And we'll have it looking pretty good for a couple of weeks, you know? And then we look around and our river's messed up again. A river of life that's coming out of supposedly the tree of life or the heart. Coming down when things are perfect, like the book of Revelation talks about, in the middle of the street of gold. You know, life's supposed to be that way. But because we don't really deal with the heart, the issues keep messing up. And so that's what we do. The junk continues to come down because we never deal with the real source. We never deal with the heart. And what the world says to do is to, the way to solve this is by using behavioral modification. Behavior modification. In other words, let's do it this way. Many of us have done this. You know, we ate too much. We just love to eat. And so, of course, when you love to eat, you gain weight, right? And so the world's fix to this is to put it in laws and regulations and put you on a diet. And you can eat this, but you can't eat this. And you can eat only so much of this. And so there's these laws and these regulations. And so we've gotten into our boat and we've netted up all that stuff. And we do pretty good for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Now let's see if I'm telling you the way it really works here. How many of us have ever done a diet? You know, we had some weight. And how many of us really, we lost weight? Yeah. But then what happened? We look back in a couple of months and that stuff come back down the river again, didn't it? We found that weight again. Let's do this one. Some of us have stopped smoking 100 times. Just the way I said it tells you the truth, right? We've stopped 100 times, but we're still smoking. What's up with that? You say you did real well for a day or two or an hour or two or, or a week or two. But then, here it comes back down again. Why? Because we never really dealt with the source. We never took it back to the heart. Parenting is a great example. I have a child that's rebellious and doing all kinds of crazy things that they know and we know and told them not to do, and they know they shouldn't be doing it, but they do it. And so we go into behavior modification. We start yelling out rules and laws, and you can put up borders, you can do this and you can't do that, and we discipline and we do all of that stuff. What we're only doing is behavior modification. And the child may obey for a couple of weeks, but then as soon as it gets a chance again, what does it do? It's going to do it again. And again. And again. And we've done the behavior modification, but we've never dealt with the child's heart. And we need to ask that child, why are you doing this? What's wrong with your heart? And they look at you really strange. Because they don't understand that thought. Because we're not trained to deal with the heart. We're trained to deal with behavior modification. What we've got to learn how to do is deal with the heart. If we'll deal with the heart, we won't have to worry about behavior modification. So, you with me so far? So what we do is behavior modification in every area of life. As this junk starts floating down this river, we stop drinking so much and we stop smoking so much and we stop doing drugs. Or we stop the addictions that we have. We stop doing our anger, and we budget ourselves and put ourselves under these rules in our finances, and we deal with our depression. And we put ourselves, oh, I can't do this. I can't get mad. I can't. So we put ourselves under all these rules and whatever. It's sin. And we behavior modify it. And we go out and we look in a couple of weeks or a couple of months and that stuff's back again. We've never fixed the problem. So here's the bottom line. Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, Father God, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, I want to say this way, God wants more than for you to be a good person. See, what God wants is your heart. What God wants is a pure heart so that you can love Him, so you can see Him, so that you can do what you were created to do, was in the coolness of the day, walk in your garden of life and have communion and fellowship with God so you can have a conversation with God. God is not after behavior modification. God's after your heart. Jesus said a lot about the heart, and I've already said that, but I want to tell you and show you that he said the things that we struggle with in life are really coming from the heart. And I want to give you just a few of these that he mentioned. For example, a great one is in Matthew 5:28. It says here, "But I say to you." But I say, let's just look at that just a second. Now, what's the context here? What's he referencing? "But I say." So somebody else has just said something, right? "But I say." Here's the verse. "You've heard in times past, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say." In other words, in times past, there was a law, there was behavior modification. "But I say." "But I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with evil desire for her has already committed adultery with her," where? "In his heart." Now, what are we learning here? He looked, he lusted in his heart, way back upstream. But it came out, and it's floating down the river now. And eventually down the river, it's going to stink. It's going to happen. What Jesus is saying here is you didn't guard your heart. You let it invade your heart way back upstream. And now here it comes. Now it's an issue. Now it's a problem. See, behavior modification is dealing with it downstream. The way God wants us to deal with it, the better way of dealing with it, is back up the heart. So who said that? Where did Jesus come up with that? He says, "You've heard in times past." Where did that come from? From where did that come? Ten Commandments? The Ten Laws? Moses? But he says, "You've heard that, but I want to show you a better way. If you'll deal with it back up there, you won't have to worry about it messing up your life and your river downstream." Here's another one. Matthew 6:21. "For where your treasure is, there will be your" what? "Your heart also." People say, "You know, I just got credit card problems, man. I got bill. I don't make enough money. I got a spending problem. I got a spending addiction." No, you don't. You got a heart problem. You didn't guard your heart with concerning finances. And it was invaded. And now here comes the credit card bills and repossessions and bankruptcies. Now we got issues. And we want to behavior modify them. We want to deal with them here. No, get it. Jesus says, there's the problem. You wasn't guarding your heart. He says another one in Luke 6:45. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." People say, "I can't control my tongue." No, that's really not the issue. You don't have a tongue problem, you got a heart problem. And you're saying all these mean things, vile things, you're running off at people, you're saying this stuff that damages people because you didn't guard your heart. And it was invaded with all of this stuff, all this meanness. And here it is. Now you've said all this stuff, and now you've made a mess in your river of life. So we get in there and we go say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Well, you wouldn't have to say you're sorry if you had dealt with it at the heart. So Jesus kind of sums all this stuff up in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. He says here, "For from within," out of a person's what? "Heart, come" what? "Evil thoughts." You don't have a thinking problem, you got a heart problem. "Sexual immorality." You don't have a morality problem, you have a heart problem. "Theft, murder, adultery, greed." You don't have a money problem, you got a greed problem. You don't have a money problem, you have a heart problem. "Wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasures, envy, slander, pride." and foolishness. Foolishness is bound up where? In your heart. All these vile things come from where? Within. They're not out. This didn't happen. We didn't go into the heart, and so here they are today. Come from within, and they are what defile you. We get books and CDs, and we go to seminaries and all these teaching stuffs on all of these issues that Jesus was talking about here to try to move on them in behavior management. And we may do real well for a week or two or three or maybe a couple of years even. But if we don't deal with it at the heart level, it's going to come down the river. And we focus on this. We focus on all of these behavior management problems. But few of us really look at the heart. And what we really need to do is say, why am I thinking this? Why am I spending all this money? Why am I having this thought? Why? What's wrong with my heart? Okay, Delbert, I got it. So what do I do? How do I fix my heart? And therein is the problem. Because you can't fix it. We've already read the scripture. Who can say, I fixed my heart, I cleaned my heart up? Who can say, I've purified myself of sin? Who can say? You can't. So how do I fix my heart? Well, that's the problem. You don't fix a heart. And when God deals with us, He doesn't deal with fixing our hearts. Here's how God works. Ezekiel 36:26. For I will give you a what? A new heart. I'm not going to fix your heart. I'm going to do you a heart transplant. I'm going to give you a new heart. And with a new and a right desires. Now that's so big. When the package comes and we get this new heart, our desires change. Our desires change from wanting to do those crazy things we did, and now our desires are totally changed to do what God wants us to do. What's right? The wisdom. And I will put a new spirit in you. A new spirit in you. Another life force. Another drive. I will take out your stony heart of sin. I'm not going to try to deal with your sin. I'm just going to remove it. I'm not going to go out there and net it all up in the middle of the river. I want to just take it out from the source. And give you a new obedient heart. And I will put my spirit, my life force in you. So you will obey my laws, you will want to obey my laws and you'll want to do whatever I command. See, God's not about fixing hearts or behavior management. What God is about is a new heart, is a heart transplant. The theological termination here is a regeneration of the heart. But we understand heart transplant. And that's what God wants to do, a heart transplant. And with that package of the new heart comes a new spirit with new desires. And if you've ever experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. And it's going off and, that's it, that's what happened to me. And we know this happened to us, and we know that we have a new spirit in us because we have a new drive for life. Things are different. We don't desire to do those old things that we did that was messing up our river, our life. We really want to do the right things. We want to have a better life. And it's not commands and laws. Jesus said, you've heard it this way, but I say. It's not commands and it's not laws and regulations. It's not that God makes us do it. It's that we want to do it. It's not that I have to, but that I get to. And this is what happens when these new desires come. You don't have to go to church because it's Sunday. It's like you guys today. I want to go to church. I don't care if it's snowing. I'm going to church. You want to do those things. You want to read your Bible. You want to pray. It's not because the preacher says you're supposed to. You want to. You want to give. You don't have to be told, give your tithe and offerings. You want to do it. You wish you could do more. You want to grow in your knowledge and your understanding of God. You want to because the desires changed, because the spirit changed, because the heart changed. It went all the way back to the heart. And if you're a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because this happened to you. Now, you, like probably me, drop your guard, and somewhere along the way, but you remember when that happened to you. You remember when God put a new heart in you. I'll never forget when it happened to me. I'll never forget. I came home and I poured out all my liquor. Beer and everything. Poured it all out, poured it down the sink, stopped smoking, changed friends. I had a different drive, a different desire in life. We didn't even think about not going to church. I don't care what the weather was or what was going on. We never thought about not going to church. I would read the Bible until my eyes would not stay open. Then I would get up, walk around, thinking I'd wake up a little bit, lay back, try to read some more. I could not read it enough. I wanted to know what God said. I wanted to walk with God in my garden, and I wanted to know Him. I wanted to love Him. And I saw this happen in Judy as well. I saw it happen in her life, and she loved the Lord and reading the Bible, and then we saw a new heart come into our children. That was an amazing thing. These children loving God, loving Jesus. Not because we made them go to church. They wanted to go. They wanted to function. They wanted to do something for God. And so our lives changed. And it wasn't that we were made to, or it was a law to. We desired to. And what was amazing, and still is amazing, is that when we would go to church and we were growing in the Lord, we were learning and you know, growing in our spiritual drive force, that we had the new spirit thing, we would go to church and we would see that other people that were Christians a lot longer than we weren't having the same experience we were having with their heart. They weren't reading, praying. They weren't doing the things that we just wanted to do. And it confuses us. It still does sometimes. But we just thought we were eccentric. You know, we thought we were just over the top. We were radicals. But that wasn't what it was. They had prayed a prayer. But they'd never gotten the new heart. They were more or less doing behavior modification. We were desiring these things. Many people go to church today and they try to operate in behavior modification, but they never really have that experience with a new heart. And you know if this experience has happened to you, because you can't miss it. And what I'm about to say is just so extremely important, because it determines whether you're under Adam or under Jesus. And I want to say it as gently as I can, but as honestly as I can, because it's just that important. Are you operating under behavior modification in your walk with God? Or have you had the new heart? Have your desires changed? Is there a different life force now driving you and pushing you? Or do you do it because it's Sunday, I got to go to church? Why? How are you operating? And so if you haven't had the new heart experience and you just say, I haven't had that, then we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. What do I do, Delbert? Well, you got to first of all realize that God wants your heart. If He has your heart, He has everything about you. And you've got to come to the place in life where you say, God, and you say, you're honest with God, and you're serious with God. You say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. I want to love you right. You say, Lord, I want to see you clearly. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you in the cool of the evening, and I want to talk to you. I want to have a conversation with you. But Lord, to do that, obviously there's some stuff about my heart. And so, Lord, what I need you to do is give me a new heart. Would you do that, Lord? And see, He will. He's waiting just for you to get there. To see, you really can't do behavior management. You've heard it in times past, but Jesus says, this is all in our heart. You got to trust the Lord. Here it says in Proverbs, and this is going to be a teaching in one of these Proverbs things, and trust in the Lord, but here it says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your what? See, your trust comes out of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. If you'll trust God with your heart, He will take it. And what He'll do is He'll give you a new heart with different desires, with a different life force. And you will have no doubt that you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You'll have no doubt that you're in the commonwealth. You'll have no doubt now that you're not under this thing with Adam, but you are in the holy nation of God. You are dwelling in His kingdom. You know it. God is not after you just to be a good person. He's not after your behavior management. What God wants is your heart. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I think we did it. I think we saw the importance of the heart. I think we saw that the issues that we're dealing with in life come from the heart. I think, Lord, now we've been brought to a place where we look at our own heart and we see if it's a new heart or if it's still a hard heart. And so, Lord, I ask you now that as I attempt to minister this in a closing way, that you deal with our hearts and that, Lord, we can do what's necessary to correct, not fix, our hearts. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I've got two things now I'm going to project to us and challenge us with. And I've been challenged with this all week. So some of you can't relate to what I just said. You really don't have a desire to love God. You really don't have a desire. You have to make yourself go through the motions and you really don't have a desire to see God, but you want to. You want to have a relationship. You want to walk with Him in the coolness of the day and have a conversation with God. You really do want that. It's just never really been a desire and a drive in your life. And so what the Lord is saying, if you'll trust me with your heart, I'll give you a new one. So what I want to just ask you to do is if you don't think you've ever had this happened to you, then let's fix it, because it's so important. Let's get it started right now. And we start by just acknowledging, Lord, I need a new heart. So if that's you, and you just haven't had that happen in your life, would you, right now, right where you're sitting, just raise your hand and let me pray for you. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hands. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Lord, these people are serious as a heart attack. Lord, they want you to attack their heart. And Lord, give them a new heart, Lord. They desire you. Lord, thank you for touching their hearts today and telling them they can trust you. So Lord, I pray now that we'll not lean to our own understanding, but Lord, we'll trust you with our heart. And you're going to come in and give us new desires and you're going to help us. So, Lord, we just commit our hearts to you. Your head still bowed and your eyes still closed. Now, the rest of us, or many of us, what's happened in my life and many of us is that we had that experience. We know it. We remember it. It was so real and so alive, but what's happened over the years and time is that we just stop guarding our heart. And we let these things invade it. Lust, bills, and money, and addictions, and anger, and all of these things just invaded our heart because we just didn't guard it the way we should. So, if that's you, along with me, and you would ask the Lord today to help you put that guard on your heart so that you guard it better, you'll take better care of your heart so it won't get all mucked up, so it stops your love for God and interferes with your seeing Him clearly. If that's you, would you, along with me, just raise your hand and say, Lord, help me guard my heart. I see hands. Some of them got two hands up.